This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. For the last couple of years, we've been hearing a lot about Iran.
There is an ominous new threat to American ships in the Persian Gulf. It's posed by Iran's Revolutionary Guard.
Iran captured 15 British sailors at gunpoint in the Persian Gulf.
President Bush today saying Iran's defiance left unchecked could lead to World War III.
Iran has been near the top of our American enemies list for almost 30 years since the Islamic Revolution there. Its regime has strict rules about how people are supposed to live, behave, dress, think. And yet Iran is a country with a highly educated population and a strong, deep cultural life. Today we're talking to Iranian artists and thinkers. My first guest is the writer and artist Marjan Satrapi. She's 38 years old and lives in Paris. Her best-selling graphic novel, Persepolis, which is a memoir of growing up in Iran, has just been made into a movie by her. It's a charming portrayal of adolescence, but also a chilling look at fundamentalist tyranny.
The reason, you know, I think that the movie works everywhere because people, they can identify to this story. I mean, repression, once in a while you have the repression of a government, you know, in your life. But, you know, if you're, for example, born in a Mormon family, you know, in Salt Lake City, you also have another kind of repression, and you can have repression of your school. So everybody, you know, according to the repression that they have lived at one moment or the other moment of their life, they can identify to this story. Of course, you know, if the guys, they're from Eastern Europe, they identify much more because they have political background that is very similar to the political background of my country.
There's a wonderful scene where you go and try to buy cassettes of rock music on the black market in Tehran, and you're caught by two women who see your punk sneakers and,
yes,
and your pins. If you can sort of set up the scene and describe what's about to happen.
Well, what is about to happen is that, you know, I go to and ask money from my mother to go to the black market.
Maman, il faut absolument que tu me donnes 50 tomans.
Ah oui?
Dis qu'il y a des mecs qui vendent des cassettes sur l'avenue Gandhi.
Mais des cassettes des Bee Gees?
Mais maman, c'est nul, les Bee Gees, quoi.
As I go, you know, in the street, and that is this guy proposing me Stevie Wonder. And then the other one is proposing Julio Iglesias.
Pink Floyd.
Jaikel Maxan.
Roger Lev. Werner Angle. Carte à jouer.
Iron Maiden.
Hey, c'est combien pour ça?
100 tomans.
I say 50.
50.
I say 60. 60. I say 50.
50.
I say 60. 50. Okay, 50.
50. Et toi, c'est quoi cette tenue?
C'est quoi ces chaussures de punk?
Quelles chaussures de punk?
And as soon as I have it, that is the female branch of the Guardian of the Revolution. And they say, what is that? What are those pants? What are those shoes? What is this jacket?
C'est des baskets.
Cette forme, c'est punk.
C'est parce que je fais du basket au club de mon école.
Et cette veste, c'est pour faire du basket aussi.
Ça, qu'est-ce que c'est? Michael Jackson?
Ce symbole de la décadence occidentale.
Mais pas du tout, madame. C'est Malcolm X.
Tu te fous de moi? C'est Michael Jackson.
Baisse ton foulard, petite pute.
Allez, ça suffit. Tu viens avec nous au comité.
Pardon, madame, je recommencerai plus. Madame, ma mère est morte.
And then I make a big fat lie, like my mother is dead and my mother-in-law, she's very bad. And if I don't go, you know, she would burn me with an iron and she will put me in an orphanage. And so they let me go.
Pitié! Pitié, j'ai pitié, madame.
Ouf. In 1984, during Iran's war with Iraq, your parents, after, I guess, the war had been going on for 3 years, sent you to Vienna.
Yes.
You were 14 years old.
Yes.
What did that feel like?
Well, the problem was, it was certainly my age. I mean, Vienna, I mean, to start with, is not the most friendly place in the world.
Or a place for young people.
Yes. I mean, if you're 65, you're retired, you love classical music, it's the best place. But, okay, I was there. Plus, you know, I was adolescent, so full of hormones. So I didn't have any brain to start with. Plus, my parents, they were far from me. Plus, my parents, where they were, it was a war. So I was all the time with this fear that they're going to be killed. Plus, I was in this very uptight, you know, bourgeois, you know, French school of Vienna, et cetera, et cetera. So all of that together, it made it that it became unbearable for me, unbearable. Thanks God, you know, I had a couple of friends. But by definition, I was put in margin because I was not like the other one.
There are several very funny and touching scenes with your grandmother, who is this smart, loving, sassy person, kind of the ultimate global grandma. How did she come to be so progressive?
But, you know, my grandmother, she was not an educated person. But, you know, there are some people that they have this natural wisdom because they have a brain and they're intelligent. And my grandmother, you know, like, you know, at her time, she got divorced, she remarried, etc. My grandmother, she had tattoo on her body. My grandmother, you know, she was a punk for her time. You know, she was a very free-minded person. And, you know, what she said always made, you know, a lot of sense. But what I liked about her is that she never lied. Like, for example, you know, I could wake up in the morning and I would say, oh, Grandma, I feel so ugly this morning. And she would look at me and she would say, this is not just a feeling. You are really ugly.
Yikes.
Well, it was good because the time that she told me I was cute, at least I knew that, you know, I could believe her. So that is something that she became like a role model in my life. Is that people like her, they're unbearable, but at the same time, the relationship with them is very easy because no matter what they tell you, you believe them.
The animation style, which reflects the style of the comics, the graphic novels, absolutely. As animation, it's so simple, yet so expressive as well. And I wondered if you had specific influences, either as an artist or as in turning it into a film.
You know, the animation is simple, but believe me, it was extremely complicated to make it look this fluid. But
it was all hand-drawn.
Yeah, all hand-drawn. The problem with that was that, you know, we didn't have any reference coming from the animation itself. So that was the whole difficulty of making it.
What do you mean?
Because, you know, we couldn't say, you know, talk about Walt Disney, think about Walt Disney or Miyazaki or Tex Avery, because that is this animation for adults. It is not a fairy tale. It's not for kids. It's in black and white, etc.
You can't say make it like that.
Yes, exactly. Not that I don't like the other stuff, but, you know, for the purpose that we had.
Although there are some 50s animations, Gerald McBoing-Boing.
Absolutely.
And, you know.
Absolutely, but still, you know, we don't have all this, you know, stretching and, you know, this thing that happened.
It's realistic.
It's realistic, it's very sober, etc. So our references, they came much more, you know, from the cinema than the animation.
Do you want Westerners who see this film to sort of take away some new idea of Iran and its history?
You know, what I'm saying is that, you know, what they show here on TV, I don't say that this reality doesn't exist. This is one reality, but that is...
Of the revolutionaries,
yes, you know,
secret
of,
police, and
yes,
don't wear that short skirt.
Yes, and all these people, you know, with a knife in the middle of their, you know, teeth waiting, you know, to go and attack the West. This is one reality, and you have many other reality, but we don't show them because then it becomes much more complicated, and we don't want that. The only thing that I want, and that is something I have always said and I really believe in it, is that if people, they watch this movie and they say to themselves, oh, I could identify to this person, so it could have been me. This is the only pretension that I have, just to think as the other one, as another human being. And if we understand that, and, you know, because why, for example, you know, why is it that, you know, America can go and make a war in Iraq? Just... because the public opinion is with them. Why the public opinion is with them? Because people think that this is the enemy. They forget that these people that are getting bombed, they're human beings exactly like them, because they have been so much dehumanized that we forget that these people, they have brother and sister and father and mother and hope, and they like to make love and, you know, eat ice cream and go to the movie. If they understand that, then it becomes way more difficult, because suddenly it's not just the enemy, it's just one person just like us. If this can be understood, you know, I have reached the biggest goal of my life, and I don't have more pretension like that than that. But I tell you, I mean, since I have made this movie, I have become this hippie going everywhere talking about love and peace, and I'm not a hippie, and that is something scary for me.
You live in Paris.
Yes.
Do you wish that someday you can go back to Iran?
Yes, of course. If I go back to Iran, that means that the situation of the whole world is much better, because, you know, for Iran to have a better situation, you know, the whole configuration of the world has to change.
And where's your hopefulness level on that front right now?
You know, I mean, looking what is happening today in the world in general, I don't have a lot of hope. I have one hope, I don't believe in anything anymore. The only thing that I can still believe in is education and culture. And I think that can change something. You know, the first time I came in America, I grew up with the idea that America was the worst place in the world, okay? And I came here to find all the good reason to hate Americans. Okay, shit, I got a slap in my face because American people, they were really nice. The second time, a bigger slap, a bigger and a bigger. To the point that in the time of last election, at the time I even didn't have my French passport, me, the Iranian, the access of evil, I was the one who was defending American in France, saying, no, American, they are not like that. And they were like, they call you access of evil. And I was like, they are not American, Jesus Christ. This is, you know, this is the American government. And why is that? Because I know America, and that is because, you know, I have come here. So the knowledge make me be less stupid, less, you know, to deal with my hate and to understand that the things, they are much different. It's not even slightly different. So just to give this example, I could get rid of my stupidity by my knowledge, and I think that everybody else can.
Marjan Satrapi, thanks very much.
Thank you. That was a pleasure. It's the eye of the tiger, it's the thrill of the fight,
rising up to the taunt of a rival. Persepolis opens in theaters on Christmas Day, and you can see some stills from the film at our website, studio360.org. Coming up, how Iranians speak their minds through poetry.
It's impossible to have a conversation with anyone in any class in Iranian society without them sprinkling their everyday conversation, their conversation with the butcher, their conversation with the taxi driver, with poetry.
That's ahead in Studio 360 from PRI, Public Radio International. Stay with us.